The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $4.99 per pound. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Exclusive digital deal of the week. Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6.84 to 8 ounce varieties, $1.97 each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
9:10 now. Newell Normand is with us just in time to talk with Danny Griffin, owner of Pipes or Us Plumbing. But first, Newell, tell me about the drive-in.
Wasn't bad at all. I think people are heeding the advice of the officials, which is good. Probably from Metairie to here. I went down Metairie Road to Canal to Magazine to the office here. I didn't see 10 cars. And most of the vehicles that I saw were actually NOPD automobiles mm-hmm. with their lights on. So I think folks are heeding the advice of officials. It was snowing hard, a lot harder than it is right now. But, you know, no problems, didn't slide or anything. And, you know, if you keep it below 25 miles an hour, you're good.
You've not seen any big flaky things like the big giant wet flakes like we had in Christmas of 04 yet,
no,
have you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, one of the concerns I have, and as we are joined now by Danny Griffin, owner of Pipes or Us Plumbing. How you doing, Danny?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I think you know Newell Normand, don't you?
Danny, what's going on, man?
Yeah. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, Danny saved me so many times. He's now a lifeguard in my family.
I don't know. I was telling Newell beforehand, I don't know what's worse, trying to get a piece of plywood before a hurricane or a piece of galvanized pipe after a freeze, because true story, Harry's Ace Hardware in Algiers years ago, I saw a fist fight break out over like a 2 foot nipple, half inch galvanized pipe. And Danny, you know well how desperate people can get after a freeze happens. So I guess the first thing is to prevent it, right?
Absolutely. You know, I tell everybody that preparation is key. You know, it's something that you want to make sure you get done as far as wrapping your pipes, that kind of thing, running your water, you know. But when it drops down a below 20, you know, unfortunately, not much can help.
Yeah. Danny, if you would, for the listening audience, there's three types of water heaters, right? Gas, electric, and tankless. And the preparation is a little bit different for each one, right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because actually I saw something recently where they were talking about an outdoor gas tankless to wrap it. And actually that's the most dangerous thing you can do, because the vent is on the water heater itself. So if you wrap it, you're keeping all that carbon monoxide inside of it. The best thing to do is to just drip your water. But most outdoor tankless gas water heaters have a safety in them to where if it drops down to below freezing, it actually kicks on, a heater element kicks on to keep your tubes from not freezing.
Wait, I lost track. That's the hot water heater that's
the kind you have, Tommy.
The tankless water heater that's outside.
Yeah.
It's mounted outside. And that the only thing, and I'm trying to think when they installed it, I'm in the middle of something here. I'm sorry, Newell. I was half listening. Thank you, Newell, for covering my behind, as he always does. You know what happened? I got out over my skis.
You did.
And
again,
all appropriate
and
on a day
outside.
Like today.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but anyway, seriously, Danny, so it's mounted outside. They said they put insulation on, I guess, the pipes leading from the supply into the water heater. So do I have any concerns as far as the water heater goes? It's mounted on the outside?
You know, it depends on, you know, the year that it was built or manufactured. Within, you know, 10 years or so,
it was
newer, they have the elements that will heat them up. And some of them, like I said, they go down way before they'll last or not freeze below zero because they have elements in them that heat them up. Not all of them do, but most of them do, especially the newer ones that you get today. But I still recommend running hot and cold pencil stream the furthest away from the front of your house. And you, that will help as much as anything else will help at this point.
That's what I did. By the way, Newell, do you have a tankless water heater or not?
No, I don't.
That is the best money you will ever spend. Danny, am I wrong?
No, sir. I have one on my house. And I can tell you right now, it is the best thing since sliced bread.
The only thing I can tell you is your water bill is going to go up a little bit. Because you're going to love that hot shower. You are not going to get out of it. You're just going to love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me about the other types of water heaters Newell brought up, Danny.
Well, you got if you have a tank gas or an electric tank, the best thing you want to do is just keep them running. You know, keep them at a pencil stream. Keep it going to where water's just flowing. That's the biggest thing that you want done. And they do have insulation around the tank heaters. So, you know, not to say that it won't burst, but for the most part, the insulation that keeps it for energy efficient will help keep it a little bit warmer and keep it a little bit more insulated.
Danny, there were some folks that were saying turn down the thermostat on a gas heater so it's not running as often. Your thoughts?
You know, a tankless water heater, you have to have so many GPMs before it'll fire up. So if it's on a pencil stream, it's not going to fire. The gas won't come on it. On your tank, you're really going to be at a minimum of running water. I mean, if you feel better, you want to turn it down, you can, but it's really not going to fire up that much because you're only running a pencil stream.
And is there any difference between electric and gas? For instance,
not really.
Let's look at it from the context of turning our water off. So we turn the main off to the house. Anything you need to do?
Okay, if you're going to turn your water off to your house, the biggest thing that you want to do if you have an electric water heater is turn the power off to it. And a gas when you want to turn down to vacation. Because if it siphons when you turn the water off, then what it could do is take the water out of the water heater and you can what they call dry fire, electric one, and it'll burn the elements up if there's no water in it. With gas, you're talking about something that's going to be cooking with no water in it. It could just be dangerous. So if you decide you want to turn the water off and drain it down, please make sure you have power off to your electric, and please make sure you put at least your gas on vacation.
Let me read a couple of texts here if I can. We're talking to Danny Griffin, owner of Pipes R Us Plumbing. My father in Araby texted me, said he's running water on two of his outside faucets, one by main water line, other farthest away, but the other one on side has no water, kind of early for pipe to freeze. Is that an issue once we thaw?
Well, the thing is that you really don't want to run your outside spigots. You want to run something on the interior so everything will flow through. Running that on the outside is just going to cause that to freeze. If it's running on the inside, then, you know, it's going into the sink and you don't have to worry about it freezing.
All right. Another text zooms in. By the way, let me open the lines here. 504-260-1870. Danny Griffin, nice enough to give us some of his time, owner of Pipes R Us Plumbing. My water heater is in the attic. Do I need to run my water during the day today if I'm at home?
If anything that's going to be well below freezing, I would sit there and say something. If it drops below 27, 26 degrees, I would always recommend running your water.
If my pipes are in my slab and my outside hose bibs are protected, do I still need to drip faucets? Tom wants to know.
I would say probably not, but it couldn't hurt. If you got a slab that's going to be insulated, the outside is insulated to the elements, you're really not going to have any problems as long as you have heat going in your home. But, again, on safety side, why not?
Somebody texts in and says, what happens if the water stops flowing? Now, that happened to me Saturday morning, but Sunday morning in Belchase, but somebody hit a fire hydrant, Danny, and I was freaking out. I thought, wait a minute, what are we talking about? Freezing, it's 50 degrees. It can't be freezing. But in this instance, I guess it could be. What's the temperature right now? 20-something? Where are we at?
27.
27. Is there a temperature, Danny, at which you guys as plumbers say, uh-oh, here we go?
20 degrees or below, it could be catastrophic.
Okay.
Once it hits 20 degrees, it's in a situation where there's not much most people can do, and you're going to wind up having some burst pipes.
Even if the heat is on in the house?
Well, no. If it's out to the elements, if it's under a raised house, or if it's in an attic that's not, you know, have any heat to it. Any place that doesn't have a heat source, and it could get down below 20, that's where you're going to have a problem. Like I said, it's going to be in the attic because 9 times out of 10, you know, the roof line's not obviously insulated, and then you're still going to get the same weather that you, or as far as temperature inside that you would get outside. Anything exposed to the elements is where it could be a problem. But if you have a slab or if it's inside of the house and the heat's on, you really won't have a problem with that.
Somebody wants to know about opening the attic hatch to keep pipes in the attic warmer.
I would recommend just running water. I mean, I really wouldn't worry about heating your attic. But, I mean, you know, if that's something you'd like to do, that would be fine. But at the end of the day, if you just run your water and it's inside, you should be fine.
So if the water stops flowing, can you do anything at that point other than wait for it to, or should you go
wait
looking for it
to thaw out?
Okay.
That's all you're going to be able to do. I mean, you know, we tell some people that if it's just your water service going in your house and you want to take a hairdryer and try to heat it up to get the water flowing, you can try that. Just keep the hairdryer away from any water coming out. But besides that, you're going to have to wait.
Yeah, I was watching a movie the other day. I forgot what the movie was, but the kid almost burned a trailer down using a torch to melt a frozen or to try to block the ice jam in a frozen pipe. That's not a good idea ever, is it?
I don't recommend anybody who's not used to using a torch by any means.
All right, somebody said if I just turn water on for 10 seconds every hour, will that do it?
It depends on how cold it gets. I mean, I think that we're supposed to be getting into the lower 20s, and you got to leave it running. It has to have flow going through it at all times, because if not, it could freeze. So I wouldn't do 10 seconds on, 10 seconds off. I would just go ahead and just leave it run as a trickle.
A lot of friends on the North Shore talk about septic tanks, if you will, and what kind of preparations those people need to do or can do with running water, filling a tank, all that stuff.
I'd be honest, I'm really not familiar with septic tanks because we're here in the city. Mm-hmm. But as far as it goes, as long as you're running water, this tank's in the ground, so it should have some kind of insulation from Mother Nature around it. But again, I'm not a professional on septic tanks, so I really wouldn't be able to tell them.
Are you making any calls today, Danny, at all, or are you guys just shut down waiting for the weather to clear?
We're shut down right now, and I'm glad you asked that question, because if the roads are iced up tomorrow also, we're going to be shut down. I mean, the biggest thing is safety. I don't want my guys on the road trying to run around and, you know, cause accidents or slip and slide for no reason. So as soon as it's safest for us to get back to the shop and get up and running, that's what we're going to be doing.
So let's talk about something I think people don't realize. Sometimes they have detached buildings with toilets, et cetera, that are not heated, and some other things maybe that people don't think of. And I know this is a little bit out of your wheelhouse, but even when it comes to draining pressure washers that are stored in garages and sheds and those kind of things, because if there's ice in there, it can crack, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And another thing that a lot of people don't talk about that should be talked about, if you have a pool, you let your pool run 24/7, because that has water in it that's obviously circulating through your pumps, circulating through your heaters. And if it's freezing your water pipes, it could freeze those pipes also and cause a lot of damage. So what I recommend to everybody, especially, you know, starting this evening, is just let your pool run. And it's the same objective as you letting the water run in your house, is to keep the water flowing. And if you have a toilet that's outside of the detached garage, what we recommend doing is, you know, turning the water off to it, flushing it. If you can get all the water out of it, great. If you can't, just take a little cap of antifreeze and put it in a bowl, and that should help it.
There you go. That's a great idea. Real quick, Newell, I don't know if you have anything else, but after it's over, and I know you'll be back on to help us through this, but what do people need to know if the pipes do freeze, the thing to do after it starts to thaw in water, they find out that they have leaks?
Be patient. Be as patient as you possibly can, because this hasn't happened in quite some time as far as the temperatures. So I have a feeling that it's going to be kind of a lot out there. And what we normally do is we start answering the phone and we take a list. Mm-hmm. And then we send our guys out and they just keep on trying to tackle their list. But the biggest thing is to have patience, because we can only do so much so fast.
You guys are the heroes of the modern world, I'm telling you. I don't mean to be dramatic here, Newell, but you think everything's going well in life until you need a plumber. Then you realize, no, not so much. Hey, Danny, thank you so much. Somebody does want to call you. How do they do it?
504-866-2730.
Thank you, sir. Danny Griffin.
Thank
owner.
You, Danny.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Appreciate you. You too. Stay safe. Owner of Pipes R Us Plumbing. We're going to talk to Jacqueline Hotard, president of St. John the Baptist Parish. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, Noel Norman might even hang around with us when we come.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Come back on WWL. .927, Tommy Tucker looking out of the window here. The Regions Bank Building, 8th floor, corner of Poydras and Magazine. It looks like something out of a Charles Dickens novel. Well, as would be described in a Charles Dickens novel, because they don't usually have pictures. Anyway, Jacqueline Hotard joins us now, president of St. John the Baptist Parish. Morning, Jacqueline. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. What about you all?
I am loving this cold weather. I'm loving the snow. I wish I'm hearkening back to 04 when my kid was 8 years old and we're out throwing snowballs at each other. Now the kid's 28 and lives out of town. That's why I'm encouraging parents to stay off the road, stay home, get out with your kids and have some fun.
Yes, there's enough snow. I'm sitting in the living room just looking out of the window, and I've never seen anything like this. And I'm not thinking back to 04, but I'm thinking my dad, and he lives in the neighborhood. He's a hunter, so I know in his mind he's just thinking, man, I wish I were hunting right now. This is the perfect, you know, weather to have a deer come crawling out there.
Well, maybe for him, not so much for the deer.
Not so much for the deer. Well, I'm a southern hunter's daughter.
That's
so,
Seinfeld bit. It depends on when you're watching these nature shows. If you're watching the zebra being chased by the lion, if you're rooting for the zebra, you're saying run, run. If you're rooting for the lion, you're saying get him, get him. But that's nature, right?
It's all about perspective.
It
that's
is.
Right.
Tell me what's going on in St. John the Baptist Parish as far as the snow and freeze and roadways and everything else.
So far, so good. I mean, I-55 is closed from I-10 to Ponchatoula, I-10 from U.S. 51 to 190 is closed, and we expected that. Right now, Airline, I believe, is still open, but we're still asking people, please don't try and get on the road, and we especially want to make sure that our roadways that are open remain open if, you know, there is an emergency and fire, police, or EMS need to respond. We are doubled up on our fire department. We've got all of our utilities crews on standby to address leaks or any outages. Thankfully, we haven't had any of that, but we're still not through the worst of this. We had one power outage, and that's been restored. It was restored very quickly, and we've been in contact with energy really in preparation for the event. Like any other event we prepare for, we get all of the folks in the room. And so we're just remaining prepared and ready to respond and hope that we get through this with just some stories to tell and pictures of snowmen.
What's your biggest concern right now?
My biggest concern is, you know, if we have water leaks and, you know, just busted pipes, that could lead to outages as we try and rebuild pressure in the system. But we're just going to remain hopeful that that doesn't happen, that everyone took all of those precautions. And also with the understanding that, right, we're not prepared for blizzard-type weather, but hopefully that all of the precautions that were taken are successful and we don't have that. And then, of course, if there's an electricity outage, you know, that could cause some real problems in this type of weather. We do have our warming centers open. We have two residents in our East Bank Warming Center, none on the West Bank Warming Center, but they are open for individuals who just may not have adequate, you know, heating in their home and want to come and stay warm with us. So that is available.
What about the situation with businesses being open or closed, or are you advising anybody get out to do anything at all?
No, I'd advise everyone to just stay put, hunker down, stay indoors. I mean, the conditions really aren't safe. And once all of this snow settles and the roads start to freeze, it's just going to be slick and messy out there. And so I would encourage anyone, unless it is an emergency, please do not try and get on the road at all. Just stay put inside and enjoy the snow. Make a snowman. You know, if you need to get outside, just go out there and make a snowman. But please don't get on the road.
And just to recap this, when it comes to water pressure, people running the water, boil water advisory, everything's fine. No worries about putting out fires or anything else. And again, the usual precautions with heating and using common sense and not killing yourself either with carbon monoxide or burning your house down.
Correct. And during the day, you don't need to trickle your faucet. You know, when everyone's up and, you know, using restrooms, washing hands, and you're keeping that flow through the system, you don't need to run the water. When you go to sleep, you can trickle, and just a trickle, not full blast, not every faucet. You just need a trickle just to keep the flow. It keeps it from freezing. And then when the first person gets up in the morning, you can shut all that off because there will be, you know, consumption going through the system. So we encourage residents to do the trickle, but whenever you wake up and everyone's moving around, you can shut all that off.
Yeah, it is a mixed bag because I know Colin Arnold, the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness earlier, was suggesting because of below water pressure in certain areas that people maybe refrain from dishwashers or using the laundry, the washing machine. However, as Matt Jewell said, and what you just said, Jacqueline, is that by doing those normal things, that keeps the water flowing so you don't have to run it.
Mm-hmm. It keeps it flowing, but so will just, you know, going to the restroom.
Right, exactly.
You know, you don't necessarily need to, you know, wash all the clothes in the house, but which it's funny because we know our residents when we prepare for a storm. I know I did, so let me make sure everything's washed. But just the normal little light consumption will keep enough water flowing through the pipe. So you don't need to do any of that. We want to conserve as best as we can.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Jacqueline Hotard, President of St. John the Baptist Parish. She said stay put, especially if you're a deer. 9:33, 27 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, 9:39, 21 till 10. Peyton Malone, WWL Louisiana. What is it called? WWL Louisiana forecaster. That's right.
It don't matter.
America's favorite weather forecaster, Peyton Malone, joins us now. Peyton, tell me, in terms of the way this is playing out, how's it comparing to what you thought it was going to be yesterday?
Honestly, it's going to plan, I would say. Nothing has been too shocking just yet. I think the winds have been a little bit stronger than what I thought they would be. But outside that, the totals are adding up. We've got reports anywhere from 2 to 3 inches in quite a few locations on the North Shore, South Shore, hanging on to about 1 to 2 inches at the moment. So,
What have we seen in terms of concentrations, and is there any kind of banding going on or anything?
There's some heavier bands. It's not anything that's really pronounced sticking out at the moment. I think we're about to get a pretty good heavy band moving through the city of New Orleans, but you know, we're far from done. I think we've got another, 9:40? This is probably going to go until 5 o'clock this afternoon.
So what kind of accumulation could we see when all of this is over? And I'll piggyback that with another question, which is, I keep going back to the snowfall, the last one I really remember, of Christmas of 04, where we had these big, giant wet flakes.
Yeah.
I've not been outside a lot. Are we likely to see a lot of those, or are we seeing a lot of those?
At time, it'll be bigger flakes. They've been a little smaller this morning at times, but this is going to be way more snow than we've seen in 04, 08. The last big snowstorm we had was in the 60s, and this should outperform that by quite a bit. So, really, no one alive has seen a snowstorm like this on the Gulf Coast.
So what kind of accumulation are we looking at when it's all said and done? Huh?
Right? Sorry, we were talking.
That's okay. So what kind of accumulation are you looking at when all is said and done? What kind of, I guess, standing snow, if that's what you call it, we would have on
snow,
on yeah,
snow
grounds?
Depth. Snow depth, probably anywhere from 4 to 8 inches still seems like a good bet. There's going to be a couple spots that are higher, others lower. That's why we give a range.
Mm-hmm.
Just with these heavier bands coming through, we're probably going to add, yeah, several more inches to what we already have.
So then with the temperature, and I don't know what happens after that, if it just dries up or it doesn't rain, no more the precipitation after the snow, take me through that and icing of the streets and all that stuff and what happens with the freezing temperature meteorologically and everything else.
Well, the rest of today, snow's adding up. It'll stop adding up probably after 5 o'clock, and then nothing melts tonight. And anything that was on the roads that kind of got slushy will refreeze into just a block of ice tonight. So tomorrow morning travel will be more than likely a lot worse than this morning for any roads that have the snowpack on them. Tonight is also going to be like an ice box because we've got clearing skies and the snow. So you're going to talk about temperatures that are way colder than they normally would be just because the snow adds a chill. I think we could get down as low as like 10 degrees on the North Shore tonight, South Shore, and maybe around 19 degrees. So that's the problem tonight with the pipes bursting. And then as we head into tomorrow, we're going to see some sun tomorrow. And don't underestimate what the sun can do for melting. Even though it's going to be below freezing or right in the 30s for a big chunk of tomorrow, we're probably going to see some improvements on the roads thanks to the sunshine. And then Thursday morning, probably still some patchy ice, but we'll more than likely see quite a bit of melting by Thursday afternoon as we get into the 40s.
So I think that's interesting what you said, that the traffic conditions actually are as good now as they're going to get for the next 24 hours, right?
More than likely, yeah.
Or 48 hours?
Yeah, because we're just not going to see any melting today, and then it doesn't really start till tomorrow. We're going to stay below freezing all day today, all tonight, and probably until around noon tomorrow it's below freezing.
So the cars go, and I'm not trying to be silly about this, but the cars go on the road, that melts the snow
into
water, but then it refreezes, and that's when the black ice happens?
You get compact little pieces of ice. Instead of just the fluffy snow on the street, you actually get more of a solid ice situation on the street.
So bottom line is for pipes and everything else, we've not seen the worst of the freezing at all.
No.
Now would be the time to enjoy the snow, and then tomorrow, tonight, after it stops, whatever was melted freezes. That's where the roads get icy and really dangerous. And then tomorrow, really plan on staying home as well.
Yeah, at least through tomorrow morning. We'll probably see big improvements Wednesday afternoon on some of like our elevated roadways and things like that. But I wouldn't be shocked if there's still some patchy areas of ice. Even Wednesday night, that'll refreeze. And so we've got another hard freeze Thursday morning across the area more than likely.
And to wrap this up and let you get back to work, snowfall until 3, 4 o'clock today?
Probably winds down after 5 o'clock, I think.
After 5 o'clock.
That'll be like when it starts to really taper off.
And around sunset.
Yeah, bitterly cold tonight.
Thank you, Peyton. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. Y'all stay warm. Enjoy the snow.
You too. Enjoy it as well. Keith Hinckley joins us now, president of Plaquemines Parish, to get an update on Plaquemines. How you doing, Keith?
Hey, I'm fine, Tommy, considering all, you know, the conditions.
Yeah, it started Sunday morning, I guess, and it freaked me out because, you know, I turn on a faucet, nothing happens. I check the, because there had been all of the talk of snow and everything, and I check the phone. It's like 50 degrees, so I'm thinking, wait, what? But tell people what happened and what the situation is with the water in Plaquemines Parish, please.
Well, about, I guess it's about 2:30, 3 o'clock Sunday morning. A young lady or an individual fell asleep at the wheel and ran off the road at the around the Methodist Church across the street from the high school, ran through a light electrical pole and really did a number on one of our fire hydrants. And when they broke it, it didn't break just at the ground level. It broke all the way down to our 20-inch main line, which services water from Bell Chase to Port Sulphur. And it turned out to be quite the repair. Thank goodness for Inframark and Entergy. Those guys, they weathered the storm and stayed out there for 17 hours until they could get it repaired and, you know, restore water to the community.
So
now we are under a boil water advisory, because of this right here. The lab, LDH's lab, is up in A-Meet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Martin Luther King Day, and we tried to get them to get open so we could get a sample. But just weren't successful at that. And now here we are today and tomorrow. So it's probably going to be Thursday or Friday before we get samples up to A-Meet to get results, on our water situation. But we do have running water.
Let's talk about water pressure, people running faucets all the way down, up from Bell Chase all the way down to Venice, and concerns moving forward here with this weather?
I'm sorry, Tommy. Run that by me again?
I was going to ask you to talk about concerns with the weather, starting at Bell Chase, running all the way down to Venice, points in between. What are you hearing about snowfall and water pressure and people running faucets? I know that you're already under boiled water advisory, so I don't imagine that would affect that. But when it comes to fighting fires and those kind of things.
Well, you know, you're right. Our pressure is back up to where we normally are. You know, we run at a higher pressure than our neighboring parishes do. So we're about 60 pounds of pressure. We're able to produce the water. We continue to produce the water. We just need to be, you know, we are going to be running the trickling of the water and all. And I guess as we monitor that, we just might have to just, you know, keep updates with the community on that as well.
Are you so there's no concern about low water pressure for firefighting or anything else anywhere in the parish?
Oh, no, sir, not right now, Tommy. And look, the other day, our fire department, they were in communications with Jefferson Parish's fire department. You know, although the water pressure was down low, we had two tanks ready to go from Jefferson Parish to come help us with any kind of fire. So, I mean, the fire departments, they were on top of things, due diligence and all, and they're in front of any kind of problems that we could potentially have.
What kind of snowfall is the parish seeing? Because I'm at work. I don't know. I live in Bell Chase. Is Bell Chase getting a lot?
Oh, we're getting it. It's Tommy, I've lived in Germany and other world, you know, mm-hmm. places north of Louisiana, and I've seen real snowfall before. This is real snowfall.
What would you, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you about Highway 23 and so forth and being open and the Bell Chase Bridge or Woodland Highway, access and egress from the parish into or out of it if people have to leave.
Right now, Woodland Bridge is closed down. They just shut that down in the last 30 minutes. The Empire Bridge is shut down in Empire. But the drawbridge on Highway 11, it's in a closed position. It's open to vehicle traffic. I haven't heard anything yet as far as the drawbridge in Bell Chase. And Plenary, they're monitoring the bridge, the new bridge that's being built. So those two bridges are still open.
If, for whatever reason, would there be a concern between the drawbridge and the new bridge that they built? Or is Sheriff saying anything about maybe two-way traffic to keep that open? And is that DOTD or is that the parish that's taking care of that?
DOTD takes care of the Bell Chase Bridge, which is the old drawbridge. Mm-hmm. Should it get closed, Plenary is monitoring the new bridge that's being built. And should the drawbridge get closed down, then they will do a contraflow, a two-way traffic on the big bridge.
So what's your concern right now, Keith, as we go into tonight and the next couple of days, or next day, really, I guess?
I guess the biggest concerns is, you know, the amount of snowfall, the amount of time that we're going to be under freezing conditions, and it just being able to monitor that and keeping people safe at home and staying off the highways, and just realize how bad a situation that this is right here.
And also, I guess, be aware of the space heaters and the fireplaces and those kind of things. Just, I always tell people, if you're doing something that's outside of your normal routine, think twice about it.
Well, and another thing I always say, if you have to ask, then maybe you shouldn't.
There you go. You know? Don't do it. Thank you, Keith. Any final thoughts?
No, Tommy, I appreciate the opportunity to spread the news for Plaquemines Parish, and thanks for everything that you do for us as well.
You bet. Anything changes, let us know. Keith Hinckley, president of Plaquemines Parish. And I would encourage everybody especially my neighbors, to take some pictures of your houses and your neighbors' houses, because you never know what if they'll be able to take them or not. Maybe you get a better shot than they do and make a great Christmas card next year if you can have a picture of your house in the yard with a couple inches of snow on it. So get out there, take pictures, have fun, play with your kids. Just be safe. We'll take a break. Talk to Newell Norman when we come back here on WWL as our coverage of the great snowfall of 2020.